Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you wonderful people tonight?
Wonderful.
Good. As usual, I have good news for you. The human body has trillions and trillions of atoms. And these atoms make up our body. And each of these small atoms, which looks like a universe, by the way, is God-made. Each tiny atom in your body is made by God. And it's made perfectly. We saw my mother-in-law. We call God is perfect. And something that is perfect cannot make something that is imperfect. So when you look at yourself, realize that every atom in your body is God-made and is operating absolutely perfectly right here and right now. If you are having any appearance to the contrary, it is because you have allowed your mind to be convinced by the world at large, which is constantly telling us that we are winding down. And we are not winding down. So you have to remember that. And when you know that every atom in your body is operating perfectly, there is no room for any dis-ease of any type. If you are feeling any of those things at the present moment, it is because they are completely man-made. This thing that we call God does not inflict us with anything but love. This God does not know disease. There is no disease in the mind of God. That means physical, spiritual, emotional, physical. There is no such thing. But we convince ourselves because we allow the world to tell us that these things exist. Man has made up this world and has come up with all these clever things because man cannot believe that we are here to enjoy ourselves. We are here to enjoy ourselves, to have fun, and to grow and to learn. Not to put ourselves through all the different ailments that we manifest all the time. So when you withdraw from the world, you can get rid of most, if not all, of these so-called difficulties or complaints, because they only exist in your mind. They do not exist in the mind of God. So when you realize that you truly do live, move, and have your being in the mind of God, you can move up in consciousness to that consciousness where you realize that every atom in your body is made by a perfect being. Therefore, you must be perfect also. One of the tenets of science of mind is perfect God, perfect man. It can be no other way. But man has gotten a hold of it and distorted it. And we started to believe that. And we bring these things upon ourselves. And we say to ourselves, well, that is life. And I see that all around me. So therefore, it must be true. It is not true. We believe that it's true because it's convincing. But don't allow yourself to be convinced. Don't allow it. Try something new. Try to see yourself as whole, complete, and perfect. If you're coming down, remind yourself that that's an impossibility. That every atom in your body is God-made and is sending out God energy all the time and is very powerful. And anything else that's in your body can... I don't care what I have to say that. These atoms are vibrating. They're constantly vibrating. Everything is in movement. Everything is in vibration. So let those wonderful atoms vibrate all that stuff right out of your body. This is the time of year when we're going to hear a lot about colds and flus, because colds and flus are back from their stay in Florida. And now they're upon us. You see, this is a man-made mental condition. We start to believe that if the temperature, spiritual mind, winter is coming, you have to get a cold, you have to come down with something. These germs that cause this, the bacteria, the virus, whatever causes all this stuff, is always here. It doesn't go anywhere. So why don't you get this stuff in the summer? Because you believe you don't get it in the summer. And we believe that flu season comes. And they'll even make this statement, flu season's early this year. And if they don't get the flu, what do they say? Flu season's late this year, but we're waiting for it. And it's going to come. And we've made up all these vaccines. And damn it, you're going to take one. Because we've made them up. If your belief needs the vaccine, please take the vaccine. Do you understand? Do you understand what that means? If your belief is in that vaccine, then take the vaccine. But if your belief is in the wonderful power that is in each one of your atoms, then don't take the vaccine. But let it be a choice instead of absolutely lining up and believing everything that comes down the pike, which the world likes to tell you. That this is going to happen, that's going to happen, so line right up and we'll give you every shot, every vaccine known, and we'll even make some up and we'll give them to you. And then you'll be all right. Because you are weak. You're not perfect. You're only human. And all humans suffer. So, get a cold and suffer. And support Kimberly Clark. That's the tissue manufacturing company. That's what happens. Does that make sense to you? So build. If you can't do it this time, build on that. Build on your belief. Know that your body can do these things for you. Your body is very, very intelligent. And it always wants to help you. But we do all kinds of things to hinder that help. So don't do that to yourself. But know you have trillions and trillions of God-made atoms in you. That's what makes it up. That's what makes the whole universe up. And we're all one with the universe. And I'm here to tell you that the universe does not catch colds. It doesn't do it. It would sneeze and the Milky Way would be blown out of the sky. So just think about those things. And don't allow the world to convince you. Do not allow that to happen. Okay. Race mind alert. Do you want to tell your race mind thing? You and Jules were watching? And you caught it?
Remember last night you got to tell me about the... You said, oh, I want Dallas to see this show. This house.
I can't remember.
Short-term memory loss.
There was we were watching Flip This House last night, and the one company that they were
focusing on
was from San Antonio, and there's another one from South Carolina, and the guy's really cool, and he knows what he's doing, and they talk about everything, but this particular guy was just, it was all about the money, and he called guys out to get bids. You know, a general, a painter, a landscaper. And no matter what they said, he'd say, no, come on now, you know, you got to do better than that because we give you work all the time and, you know, I need to make my profit. And he actually said that at one point. He wanted to make a $65,000 profit. So he wanted them to come down from their price, $1,000 or $2,000. And he was, like, really mean about it. And it's the first time I've noticed, I'm a contractor, so I watch these shows all the time, because it blows my mind. But it's the first time I've noticed that anybody has been so focused. I mean, obviously they're out to make a profit, and they're focused on cash, working, a profit. But that somebody has been mean. So it's like it's taking that turn into the reality show genre of, you know, the more derogatory or mean or dramatic we can be, the better it is. And it was just so interesting. Jill said, oh, I would love for Dallas to see this show. So it was just really amazing to, when she said that, to start observing it from the race, mind, money-only perspective, no matter how mean.
And then one guy that, the one guy that they hired, he does a lot of things, which is funny in itself. He's afraid that this is going to, in his head, you can see his fear about money. His fear is like, oh, my God, this might... What if they cut me off? And it was like, I wanted him so much to walk away and say there'll be other jobs because they were screwing him. And I thought, wow, he's so afraid to just say no. And he kind of sold his soul down,
yes.
You know, which was really actually sad.
It's always sad when we think somebody is selling themselves out or selling their soul. The universe wants everyone to make a profit. But never at the expense of anybody else. Never at the expense of anybody else. If this man would have known that he wanted a $65,000 profit, and he held that, he would not have to ask anyone to cut their prices, and he would have made his $65,000. But he was out to make a profit. And there's a difference. When you're out to make a profit, you're not going to make that profit. You have to be out to help people. You have to imbue everything with love. You have to love what you're doing. You have to love the other contractors. You have to love all these people. And then it will work out for the best of all those concerned, and everyone will make a profit from it. This is the way the universe works. This is the way this whole thing works. But here again, race mind tells you you must screw somebody. Because the world does not believe that there is enough. The world will never teach that there's enough. There's always going to be a lack in the world. The universe always has supply. It never runs out. And it lacks nothing. So you must think of that instead of thinking, oh, I've got to make this profit. And if I want this money, that means they have to give something up. You see, and it's not. You never ask somebody to give up something, and you certainly don't ask people to give up their money. To give up their money. Everyone wants a deal, which is fine, but you cannot undercut somebody and expect to make a profit. It will, in the end, cause you much damage, and those people usually go out of business. They usually go out of business. Because you have to always imbue anything you're doing with love, and especially with business, and you have to know that you're in a service. And you're always in a people service. And you're always in a God service. And you're always helping. And when you do that, you never have to ask somebody to cut something. It will come to you. Does that make sense? You always have to realize that there's enough to go around. There's always enough to go around. And what this man was doing, he was saying, this $65,000 is my good, but I can only get that good by taking somebody else's good from them. You cannot do that. Another person's good is their good. Your good is your good. You see? And that's why there's always enough. You see, I can have the whole universe. I can have the whole universe. Does that mean there's none left for you? Absolutely not. You can have the whole universe also. You see? But race mind tells us if I have it, you don't have it. You see? And that is not the way the universe works. We can all have it because we're all one. Okay. So if you're, go ahead.
I saw a race mind thing today on the internet, on my homepage. It said, the top 10 most dangerous cities.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and St. Louis won. It's the most dangerous.
I didn't even read the article.
It's the most dangerous. I heard that somewhere. Won. The most dangerous city in the world. You know. I'm thinking Baghdad myself. You know, that comes to mind. St. Louis does not come to mind. So where they come up with this stuff is beyond me. But it is. And the reason why I'm doing this, Race Mind Alert, is it's all right to come here. It's all right to know all this stuff and to learn. But once you get out and leave this class, you have to be able to pay attention to see what is coming across to you all the time. And it's always going to be race mind stuff coming at you. And if you say, oh yeah, and just go on and say, oh yeah, that's the way that works, that's the way that works, you're not going to learn this teaching. You're not going to learn this teaching. Because it'll suck you right back in. The world will suck you right back in. Very subtle, the world. And we take all these things for granted. We've heard them for so long. We've seen these things for so long. And we think, oh, well, that's the way it is. It's not the way it is. And it will eventually change. When we get enough consciousnesses going, the world will change. And race mind will change with it. But at the present moment, the world is out there telling you all kinds of lies. So try to notice them and say, that's not right. That's not true. And you can have fun with it. Make a game out of it and see how many you can find. And you'll find all the mistruths in the world and all the mistruths that you've grown up with. I went to see the documentary by the Dixie Chicks.
Oh, yeah.
And, we won't get into the politics of that. You know, this class is not political. Religious science is not political. And God is not political. God doesn't know a Republican from a Democrat or any of the other stuff that's going on out there. That's all man-made and it's all race mind-made out there. And people think that's going on. So we won't discuss that. But what we will discuss is one of the little things when they were doing something with the Dixie Chicks and everyone hated them. A mother in the South holding a baby, or a child, she's saying something horrible about the Dixie Chicks. I don't remember.
Screw
you, was it? And she's saying to the little boy, tell him, you say it too. Tell him. Do this, do that.
Oh.
The reason why I point that out is the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. All prejudice is learned when you're young, and it's learned from your family, from your mother and your father, and people from when they're born to the age of 5 are the most impressionable. Our mind absorbs more in those 5 years than any other time in our life because there's nothing else in there. So it's like a sponge, and it absolutely sucks all that stuff in. Now this little boy now takes on the attitude of his mother. That attitude he holds long enough for it to become a belief. And now he thinks that is his belief. And it was never his belief. It was his mother's belief. And usually, all the lies and the beliefs that we have in life, we pick up from our parents. The main one that we pick up is our belief about money. We get that at a very early age. And we make a decision. By the time we're 5 years old, money does not grow on trees. Money is very scarce. Money is always causes trouble. There's never enough. We take all that in. We take all that in. Now, if you were born into a family of affluence, then your belief would be completely different. There's always plenty of money. I always had this. I'm not stressed out. I know there's money here. I know I can do anything I want because I have huge sums of money behind me. But we learn everything. So when you're looking at yourself, see, what beliefs are you carrying that don't belong to you, that you no longer want? Because you can never move past your belief system. Your belief system is a box, and you can only go to the top of that box, and it'll push you right back down again. This is why so many people you've seen come up, and they go right back down because they can't break out of their belief system. In order to break out of your belief system, you must change it. You must come up with a new belief system. And you can do that. That's why we say change your mind, change your life, change your belief system, change your life. It's done with your belief system. I talked about Napoleon Hill before, who wrote Think and Grow Rich. It's been out, I don't know, 60, 70 years by now. It sold millions and millions of copies, and it was supposed to make everyone rich. It did not do that, because he interviewed people who already had money. And they already had a belief that they could have money. And that is never mentioned in the book. Because that book starts at step two. And no one ever wants to tell you step one. And step one is always, it's done unto you as you believe. And you can change that belief. That's the power that we all have, to be able to change who we are so that we can get to where we want to go. And you do that by getting a bigger, better belief system. And that's how it works. So, changing your belief system is observing what the world's doing out there, what the world is constantly telling you, what the world is trying to convince you. Don't allow yourself to be convinced. Don't believe that only a few have money and only a few will get the money. The few that have the money, and I think it's 2% of the world, by the way, have the money. They have the money because they have a rich consciousness. And everyone wants to take that money from them. If the 2% gave all their money to the world equally to everybody, in no time at all, the 2% would have all the money back. The 2% would have all the money back. Why? Because they have a belief system and a rich consciousness. Or they have a belief system of a rich consciousness. They believe that they're worthy, they're deserving, they're totally lovable, and money is always coming to them, and they can have that money. And they get that money. And it comes right back to them. That's why people who win the lotto never keep that money. They can't, but they have no idea. They're used to not having money. And they go right back to it. These belief systems work across every major thing in your life. When I say major thing, in your relationships, in your jobs, they always work. If you grew up in a family that was abusive, you'll start a family of your own which is abusive. You cannot help but do that. If you grew up in a family where there was incest, your family will have incest. It will follow you. It's the whole idea that the sins of the father are revisited on the son. Until you can change your mind about that, it will continue. If you watch your father beat your mother, you will beat your wife. It's as simple as that. Because you have a belief system in that. You were young when you saw it. It went in, and it is in there, and you get it out. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of race mind thinking. I know a lot of people those experiences that happen there don't commit incest or commit, they don't beat their wives. I'm like,
how many do you know?
Actually, I know more than a few that have some sort of abuse, but they don't. I mean, they don't. I don't. I know they don't beat their wives, and
you do.
Yeah,
and they're not abusive.
Well, I don't think they're.
I would recheck that if I'd be you.
Okay, but what you're saying is that.
And it's not race mind, by the way.
It's not?
No.
Because that's their belief.
Because it's their belief. And because it got there at a very young age. And they see that. And they repeat that. And until the chain is broken, that happens. That's why we say alcohol runs in families. Abuse runs in families. This runs in families. That runs in families. Because it's a belief system. And also because you grew up in that and that looks normal to you. And most people that were in an abusive thing, if their father was abusive to them, they will marry a husband that's abusive. And they will say, how did this happen to me? Because in relationships, you're always completing your parents' relationship. Until you know that, then you can change it. Why do you think so many people keep marrying the same person? They just have a different face. They say, well, my God, she's just like my first wife. Well, he's just like my first husband. Of course he is, because that's your belief system. But the good news is, once you are aware of that, you can change it. These people are not aware. They think that's who I am. That's just the way it was. That's the way this is. I drink because my father drank. I am a Republican because my father was a Republican. Or I'm a Democrat because my father was a Democrat. Ask people. And they won't say, oh, I'm a, because of this, this, and this. Oh, mom, it's all, our family's always been Democrat. That's just it. Our family's always been Democrat. But religion, Catholic. We've been Catholic for years. All I'm asking is for you to think. Instead of thinking, this is just the way it is, this is who I am, say, oh, does this make sense to me? Do I still want to be a Republican? Do I still want to be a Catholic? Do I still want to be an abuser? Do I still want to be this? And then choose out of it. It's a matter of choosing out of these things. The race, you don't want to be any of those things. Good. Right, I know. Me neither. Yes. The race mind part of it comes in because people will sit around and deny this. And they will say, oh no, that doesn't happen. They'll sit around and deny it. Look how they deny, and I'm not picking on anybody here. All this stuff about the Catholic priests. If you ask a staunch Catholic family, and they will say that never happens, and they will send their son right to that priest. And they will say to the son, no, he never touched you. He made it all up. That's race mind. That's race mind. So all I'm ever doing is asking you to look at things and look at them differently. Because the world wants to deny all those things. It wants to pretend that those things do not happen. The page situation that's going on in Congress. And people to stand up and say, oh, I never knew that was going on. They have to be deaf, dumb, blind, and practically dead not to know that that's going on. If you've ever been to Congress, you can see it from the floor, from the gallery. You can watch that going on. But we deny it. We deny it.
I have an announcement. Is it time to make the announcement?
Why not?
It's very apropos of what you're talking about. There is a seminar that I went to 2 months ago, 3 months ago. It's called the Millionaire Mind Intensive. And the person who conducts the seminar actually wrote a book which talks about how someone like Donald Trump can lose all his money and then get it back again because he has that millionaire mind. And what they work on over 3 days is getting you to have more of a millionaire mindset. So anyway, I have possibly a spare ticket. It's a 3-day seminar in the middle of November. And if anybody would like to take up the spare ticket, please let me know. And it's free.
Thank you. I will add a little caveat to that. That seminar is going to teach that to you. But it's going to teach that to you in the terms of race mind. Because there is no way that Donald Trump is not living in race mind. There is no way that he is not influenced by race mind. You can live in race mind, you can be influenced in race mind, you can have a millionaire consciousness, and you can have all that money. That's all well and good. And I want each and every one of you in here to have a millionaire's consciousness, to have a money consciousness. But I also want you to have peace of mind and know that you did it correctly and honestly. And that seminar is not going to teach any spirituality whatsoever.
No, I've been to it, so it's not true.
I was going to add, I've been reading that book, The Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, and I was actually surprised at how in line with the Science of Mind book it is.
Yes.
It is very positive.
Well, then I stand
and I've
corrected.
Been very happy reading the book because it is all of the things that you've been talking
it's
about.
It's not Donald Trump.
It's not Donald Trump.
Oh, well, right. You should have never brought Donald Trump up because I watched him on one of the talk shows say that he would do anything to get back at people.
Yeah. He was just using Trump as the example to say, just like you were, about the 2% getting all the money.
Oh.
That's what I was saying. I wasn't saying
Trump
he was run by Donald Trump,
money,
Trump
which
all
right.
He has.
It's very kind. It's very,
all
yeah. All yeah. All right. With the signs of mind, and I think of you when I read it.
Okay, good.
So it's nice.
Good. Because Donald Trump said that on a talk show, that he would do anything to anyone to get back at them.
And I think he's changed.
Do you?
I've seen him recently, and I listen.
Oh, good.
He hasn't changed his hair.
He hasn't changed his hair. But you change your mind without changing your hair.
Maybe that'll come next.
and either that or he's talking a good game, but he's talking young.
Okay,
so
good.
I don't know.
And then I stand absolutely corrected. Because so many times these motivational things are very good, and there's nothing wrong with motivational programs and all. But when they lack spirituality, you can get what you want, but you're not going to feel good about yourself or satisfied with what you've done. That's what I'm saying, okay? All right. Let's start as we always do, with spiritual mind treatment. And here again, when I use the word spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. We are taking time out to know what God already knows about us. I will do this in the first person, and all those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. I know that every atom in my body is connected to God. And I know that every atom in my body is perfect. And because every atom in my body is perfect, I am perfect. And right here and right now, because I have trillions and trillions of God atoms in my being, each and every one of them is in line with abundance and prosperity. And I see that abundance, I see that prosperity, and I feel abundant and prosperous. And I see money freely flowing to me from all channels of the universe. And I am open and receptive to that. because I have given myself permission to be the person that I truly am, a worthy, deserving, and lovable individual, one with God itself. Money is flowing to me right here and right now, and I let that be so, and so it is. Everyone still doing treatments and affirmations and staying up with them? Good. They absolutely work. Tonight's topic is supply of all things. The idea of supply, as I said earlier, the world says it's limited. The universe says that it is unlimited. So when I use that expression, we live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. We also live, move, and have our being in supply itself. That supply is all around us. It is everywhere present. And all we need to do is open ourselves to that, to see that everywhere, and to be grateful that it is everywhere present. Remember on the highway, I don't get upset with all the cars. I think, look at all the abundance. Look at this. How could there be that many cars? And they keep coming and coming and coming. I see it as abundance. And that's what you must look at your whole life and see the abundance around it. See the supply that there is there. And you start with where you are, knowing that the supply is there, knowing that you have a supply. And your mind may say, yes, but it's a small supply. Make it bigger. Now, how do you make your supply bigger? By stretching your consciousness so that you see supply everywhere, that you see supply coming to you, that there's no lack or limitation whatsoever in your consciousness, in the universe, and in anything that you're doing. If you're in business for yourself, you have to see abundance and supply everywhere and no lack whatsoever. So you know that customers are always going to be coming, and customers come to you with money, and they give you money, and you give them service. And it just keeps working that way. But the world wants to tell you that there aren't enough customers. That there aren't enough customers. There always is enough customers. And if you're on the same block with somebody else selling the same thing, what you have to do is know that your customers are your customers. Their customers are their customers. That you're never in competition with anybody. We don't teach competition. We teach creativity. So how do you build your business then? Not by taking somebody else's customers. That's what the world wants to do. That's why all these advertisements keep going on and on and on and on. Oh, they got the customers, get a better ad, and we'll get the customers. No. Make your business better. Make the service that you're giving better. And customers will come to you. This works in every area that you're in. You say, well, I'm not in business. I don't have a business. You're always in business. You're always in your own business. You're always selling. And what are you selling? You're selling yourself. These people are in real estate. You think they're selling a house? Never. You're always selling yourself. Reeve is in the construction business. You think she's selling that? No, she's selling herself. She's selling her knowledge. Actors, you're selling yourself. And how do you do that? Not by going to an audition and thinking that you're competing with somebody. By going to an audition and being creative and using your creativity and knowing that you're the most unique person in this whole wide world. You'll book the job. You're always in business for yourself. And you're the one that's bringing the people in, that's bringing the money in. Nothing on the outside, the economy, stops that. Nothing stops that. When you know that, when you have that consciousness, you make money all the time. We hear stories constantly. And here again, the information that we receive is distorted and usually wrong, because it's reported by the world out there. During the Great Depression, when people say the Depression, all people think of is all the people who lost money and jumped out of windows. During the Depression, more people became millionaires than at any other time in history. During the Depression, William Randolph Hearst was making over $100,000 a day during the Depression. Great fortunes were started during the Depression. All great fortunes start with one little idea and a better idea and a service and a product that's better. You don't get into this competition. And people think, oh, and you hear that because the world constantly tells you that. All these reality shows, I flick through those and flick them right back off again. I won't watch anything where they make people compete with each other, because they want to have a winner and a loser. And most of those shows I find are mean-spirited. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I find them very mean-spirited. I don't watch them. When they have a show on where it's about creativity, I'll watch it, but not competition. Each and every one of us is unique. And when you realize that and use your uniqueness, you'll make millions. But we think, oh, I have to be like that person, or that person's better than I am, or I have to compete with that person, I have to do this, I have to do that. Don't do that to yourself. And if you're acting and you go into those things, go into that audition knowing that you are absolutely unique. And what you present to the casting agent is your authentic self, so that they see that and not somebody acting like somebody else. You have to become your own person in this world, and you have to be true to yourself. And you can only be true to yourself by being yourself and not saying to I should look like somebody else, or I should be like somebody else, or if I talk different, if my hair was here, there, or anywhere. Don't do that to yourself. And that's in every business. That's in everything. Everything. As soon as you realize that, and as soon as you love yourself, people will come. You'll get what you want. But competition will kill you every time. It's just not a healthy way to go through life. And the world teaches what? It's a dog-eat-dog world.
That's interesting because I'm a realtor and I call expireds in the morning. And I do feel like there's a lot of competition. I mean, sometimes I reach sellers and they'll say, you're the 10th person who's called me. And, so I guess what you're saying is you just see myself as being different than everybody else, or I'm not sure how to...
I'm going to tell you. First of all, when you get up in the morning and you're going to make these calls, mm-hmm. you immediately stop and you say to yourself, I am the best agent. I am the most unique agent. It doesn't matter how many people called that person before. I am sending love to that person. When that person picks up the phone and they say, oh, you're the 10th person that called, you will say to them, yes, and I'm the last person because I can sell your property.
And we both can say it on the same morning.
Yes. But you get up in the morning thinking competition right away. You get up in the morning and is it difficult for you to pick up the phone?
Yeah. Like today?
No, don't do that. It's always going to be difficult to pick up the phone when you think that somebody's going to come back to you. You have to go to them with love first and imbue that and send that. And know when that phone rings on the other end, who's answering?
The homeowner.
God. It's only God. It's always God talking to God, people. Only God talking to God. And when you don't know that, you set up competition. And you're scared to death to pick up the phone because, oh my goodness, who's on the other end? That horrible homeowner. Oh, I'm going to pick up the phone because God's on the other end and I have a good connection with God. I've always liked God. God's always liked me. And I think I'll just chat a little while. Good morning. You have to change that whole thing.
Yeah.
Didn't you change your mind about that woman?
Yes.
And what happened?
And I sent my spiritual guides ahead of me on a conversation that prior to that I thought would be tough. And I actually manifested what I wanted.
Is that stretching the consciousness?
Yes.
So that now they believe they become a fire and they don't get knocked back down?
Yes. Yes. That's all we're ever doing is stretching our consciousness. And what we're doing is stretching that belief system. We're changing that belief system so that we don't live within that box. You can only receive what you can conceive. And when you conceive this big, you have to make it bigger and stretch and stretch and stretch. Then you can receive that. You see, most people want $1 million, but they have a $20,000 consciousness. Mm-hmm. Where is it going to fit? You see, it can't fit in there.
So let's say that she made a call that she normally wouldn't have made, and she was still refused, but she made the call. Is that still stretching the consciousness?
Absolutely, it's stretching the consciousness. Anytime that you do something that you're afraid to do, and anytime that you imbue something with love, and anytime that you know that God's on the other end, even though that homeowner says, no, you're the 10th person that called me, and I'm not giving you that, you still remain very polite to remain all that. When that homeowner hangs up, you have to know that that homeowner remembers you and says to a friend, the most lovely person from such and such really called me. That person says, oh, I think I'll call her. Then that person will call this one and this one and this one and that one and this one. But you have to see all that going on. You see, I can see all that. I can see all that happening. You have to be able to see that happening. You don't see it happening.
She does now.
Yeah.
Well, I when you told me what to do with my client, the beginning, the first minute of the conversation, it was going south. And all of a sudden, I was so, I watched it go north. I mean, I really watched the whole conversation. And in the middle of the conversation, I'm all, wow. I wanted to sort of say, wow, this is kind of cool. This is, I mean, to be in it and have it happen at the same time and be totally aware was really cool thing to do. And we came to the same decision at the same point, and it was like, wow, that was incredible.
There's only one mind. There's only one mind. There's no conflict in the mind of God. There's no struggle, stress, strain in the mind of God. We think we have to fight for everything. We think we have to convince somebody. You sent your spirit ahead. You imbued that with love and so forth. And during the conversation, you both came to the same conclusion at once. When two or more meet, there so am I.
So something that Chrissy could do, or anybody, is tonight before sleep, send her guides, yes, or spirit or whatever ahead, because in the unconscious world is where it all happens anyway.
Yes.
At night we're unconscious.
Yes.
She can get up in the morning and not have a problem with the, I know I'm the unique one who's making,
yes,
that phone call. I don't care if it's number 2 or number 20.
Right. No. There's no such thing as competition. And I was in the real estate business, and I will tell you that everyone in the real estate business thinks there's competition. I give that up, and the sales just keep coming.
Right. There isn't a real estate agent or even an actor that's really in competition with other people. It's just, you know, it's all about you.
Yes.
And
yeah.
What you believe.
It's about you and what you believe. So you have to believe that you deserve it, that you're worthy and totally lovable, and that person on the other end is God, and that person's waiting for that telephone call, and the other people didn't get it because they didn't use that. There was no connection. So you have to make a connection. Haven't you, when you're in the real estate business, right away a person comes in, and once you make that connection, don't you know you have the sale?
You can feel the connection as it's going on.
You can feel the connection and you know, well, that
mm-hmm.
sale's done. After, you're not selling houses, people. You're not selling
right.
anything. You're selling yourself.
I was going to say, I'm in a business too where I'm legally recruiting. And I have to make calls, and there's so many people out there, you know, doing the same thing. They get a lot of calls. And sometimes I get, you know, and it's the same thing, you got to kind of get yourself in this mindset. And sometimes I just say, before I make the call, when I'm in this frame of mind,
mm-hmm.
you know, how can I be the most helpful and how can I be the most of service when I call?
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't make the connection, if it doesn't make the closing, it doesn't make the closing. But I still feel like I'm leaving this sense of I'm trying to be the most of service, the most fair, and in that mindset, and oftentimes, you know, they might remember you and refer you back, even though sometimes we're already working with another recruiter.
Yeah,
you know,
right, right.
But if I get in that mindset, and I can't say I'm always, you know, doing that, but this has really been helpful to me, and how can I be the most of service when I call on you? You know, so you're not dreading, like, oh, they're just going to say, oh, you're just another one, but I come at it with that, you know, you
yeah.
get, and then you make the call, and whatever will be, but a lot of times, you know, you're making that connection. How can I be of service to you and the most helpful? And sometimes it doesn't close it, but it has other effects too, which is, I think.
One of the greatest techniques that you can do if you're doing phone and you have to do the phone is you have a mirror beside the phone and you watch your face. And you keep a smile on your face the whole time. When you smile, you're sending out energy. And that energy goes right to that person. But we're going, diddling, oh yeah, yeah, you want that sound? You have to get into it. But try the mirror. Keep a mirror by the phone, a little mirror, and see yourself. And know that you're smiling. And get yourself prepared before you make the telephone call. That's what people, why people are afraid in sales, telephone sales. They're afraid of the telephone because they don't prepare themselves to talk on the phone. You prepare yourself by getting calm. You prepare yourself by bringing up your love, by knowing what you're going to talk about, by sending that ahead, which I call sending your spirit ahead to make the way clear. Then you pick up the telephone. But you don't pick up the telephone, what they call cold calls and all, without preparing for it. And you'll find the person on the other end will be nice to you. They won't hang up.
How exactly do you send your spirit ahead?
I wish Nathan was here. He knows the answer.
Can I answer that?
Yes.
I've been trying to, actually. I started the business a few years ago, and I was having a lot of success very quickly, but I realized that I wasn't really happy with the way I was charging people. I felt I was always undercharging to get the business. So then somewhere around, I don't know, April, Lee Dallas had a talk, and I started raising my consciousness and basically raising my prices. And what I found happened was I lost a lot of customers, but I said, I'm going to have faith. I'm going to keep my prices where they are. Probably 2 months ago, it dawned on me that it wasn't the prices that was putting people off. It was I was doing something differently when I started the business, which I had since stopped doing, and that was this. I was genuinely caring about my clients when I advised them. So even if it was to say, look, I'm not the best person for you, and I'm, you know, stood to lose money or not gain money out of it. So I started doing that again. And over the past 2 weeks, I've just been so busy with either referral, people who dropped me like 3 weeks ago decided they wanted to come back. Just one thing after another, and the phone doesn't stop ringing, and I'm so thankful. But really, it so demonstrates what you've just said, which is, well, which is the question you asked, which was, how do you put that out there? You put that out there by genuinely wanting the something good for another human being, and it comes back several fold. And I'm not doing it for that. I'm doing it because it makes me feel good to actually help somebody. But it's coming back to me too. So I just wanted to share that with everyone.
Honesty is always the best policy. And if you use his technique, which is very good, when I mention Nathan, it's because you use your imagination. Your imagination is the greatest tool you have been given. You keep forgetting to use it. You see the other person on the other end. You see your spirit going there. You see that person writing the contract. You see that person saying yes. You do all that preparation. But you do that with your imagination. And it makes the way clear every time. And this lady, when you got honest, things got better, didn't they?
Well, I just simply say, God, I'm getting ready to get on the road. Please go before me and make the way straight. That's about as simple as it can be. I just ask for what I want.
So how were you, how was she, were you dishonest before?
I didn't say you got, she got honest with herself, with money, and with clients, saying, well, I think you should find somebody else because this is the price. And if you can't pay this price, I could cut this price, but you're going to get a bad deal, and you're going to get sloppy work, and you're going to get this. And they were, I never thought of that.
She said, he said, it's all about service. And I do that all the time. With contracting especially, you know. If you can find a guy who's self-contained and it's $20,000 less, that's great. Now here's a couple of tips for you to ask. Does that make sense? Is there anything else? And if there is, call me and I'd be happy to give you more ideas if you're confused.
And you see, you may lose that job. But those people will remember you and it will come back to you 10 times over. And it just requires that. Because what happens in the real estate business or in any business, the fear of money. Oh, I have to make this sale. I want that money. I need that money. I don't care what I have to sell my mother-in-law. And then you don't make the sale. And you say, what happened? I did it all. I even tried to sell my mother-in-law and I didn't get it. No. What can I do? How can I be of service to you? And that's what you're doing as an actor. What service can I provide for you? To the casting agent. The service you can provide for them is showing them how unique you are. Is showing them how unique you are. We are all individualized expressions of God. We are all absolutely unique. There's never been anyone like us, and there'll never be anyone like us again. We are truly the rarest of the rare. What each and every one of us are is a unicorn. And it's wonderful. And so are you. And so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.